do with continuing where the Lord has us right now and an understanding of how He wants to take us deeper. So God keeps speaking to us about going deeper, about going further, about going higher, about pressing in, about leaving some things behind, about sharpening our focus, about walking with Him, about listening to Him, about surrendering things to Him that He might fill us with more and more of Himself. And there are different levels. I don't like using that word, but there's not a better word. I don't like using that word because it's been abused, like many words in Christian circles. And so some people think when you speak of levels that, oh, I'm on a higher level. But we're never on a higher level as though we lord it over someone else. We're just in a place where we go further and further with the Lord than we have been before. So I'm higher than where I was yesterday. I'm closer than I was yesterday. It's not necessarily in relation to you. It's in relation to who I was. So I've gone further than the Lord than I went yesterday, and I pray that the same is for you. And so there are deeper levels of anointing. What is anointing but the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? It is Jesus living in us through His Holy Spirit in such a way that there is evidence of it. He comes, and first He lives within us by faith when we draw near to Him in faith and receive Him as our Savior and we become a follower of Christ. But that is only the beginning. It's only the doorway into what God has for you, for each one of you here tonight. And so there are levels of the reality of that presence of Christ, that anointing, that empowering of the Holy Spirit. The anointing means that you have His presence, but it also means you have His power. It means that you have supernatural strength that you didn't have before. Perhaps not as much as you'll have tomorrow, but more than you had yesterday. So there are levels of growth in receiving a greater and greater anointing from the Lord. And so we find this so simply put for us in the Word of God. Jesus begins in John 4:13 to speak of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus speaks to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, in chapter 4 about belief. Before I read this, understand that the context here is salvation. This is about what you receive being a saved person. So in verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again," speaking of the natural water of the well. We're going to be looking at natural water, spiritual water, natural bread, spiritual bread. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." So this is springing up into the reality of salvation for the individual. When you come to Christ, you believe through faith in what He did on the cross, and you come and you receive Him as Savior. You not only receive Him as Savior, but as Lord. You follow Him. The Holy Spirit comes then to dwell within you, because if you invite Jesus to live in you, how is He going to live in you? He's going to live in you through His Holy Spirit. So He comes to live in you, and that becomes, in your life, the beginning. It becomes a fountain or a wellspring of life, springing up unto everlasting life. In other words, bringing you into greater and greater fullness of what it means to have everlasting life, to be saved, to live forever with the Lord. And so this Holy Spirit comes to give you the reality of salvation. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Remember, before we move from this scripture, this is in the context of salvation that He speaks to her. Turn over to chapter 7, and the Lord makes a similar statement, but it's different now. And at the end, He will give us the context. This is beginning at verse 37 of chapter 7. "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Let me break this down real quickly for us. Jesus is speaking there of another reality, a deeper reality of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between a spring, a fountain springing up to everlasting life, and having rivers of living water flow out of you. Amen?
Amen.
There's a difference, a quantitative difference between these two things. And so in the first instance, it is the context of salvation. In the second instance, he then says, the scripture then tells us, this he spoke concerning the Spirit, which the first one concerned the Spirit also. But here he says it's in this context. They have not yet received the Holy Spirit as they're going to receive him in fullness on the day of Pentecost. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Bible tells us when the day of Pentecost had fully come that Jesus had ascended to the Father and had received of the Holy Spirit. He was glorified at the right hand of the Father, and then he was able to pour out his Holy Spirit. Those who were there in the upper room, the 120, first they received this powerful indwelling and overflowing of the Holy Spirit that we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were saturated with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then became a river of life flowing out of them. Beloved, a spring of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you for everlasting life is for you. But a river that wells up within you and flows out is not only for you, but it is for others. It goes from being something that has to do with your salvation and your experience of God to being something that sets you so apart that it is obvious to other people that the Spirit of God is upon you, is in you, is flowing from you, and that you have something to give other people. And there is an entire universe of difference between these two things. Multitudes of Christians have a river, have a spring of water welling up inside of them unto everlasting life, but not rivers of living water pouring forth. And so he takes us from one level to another. He calls us. Everyone in this room tonight, the interesting thing to me that the Lord has been doing in what he's been giving me, the messages, is that it does not matter where you are right now in your walk with God. You can always go a stone's throw further. He's not saying, oh, there's some here in this church that I want to take you up on the mountaintop. No, he's saying, everyone in this church, I want to take you a stone's throw further. And so only you know what that next push, what is it that God wants to do in your life that's going to make his reality more real than ever in your life and your walk with God more genuine, more real. And so he takes us from spring of water to a river. And while none of us in this room, I believe I would be safe in saying, have ever walked in the flow of that river in fullness all the time, and I'm certainly not to stand here and pretend like I have or that I do, but many of us have experienced it at times. And God is wanting everyone in this room to know that it is real, that it's a reality, and that there is so much more that God has for you and me than what you and I have right now. He talks also not about water, but he talks about bread. If you look at Matthew 4, these are things that satisfy. Water is something that satisfies thirst. Bread is something that satisfies hunger. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I talked about this last Sunday morning, the proceeding word of God. That is the living word that comes to you. The word that he's speaking to you in the current season or the current hour of the current day. Man shall not live, and I'm going to paraphrase now, just so that I'm sure that we all understand what he is saying in this sentence. Man shall not live by natural bread, because that's what he's saying. He's saying you will live by living bread, because the word is living bread, right? Man shall not live by natural bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and that is living bread and living water. All of these emblems that we have. Let me say it one more time. Man shall not live. I wonder how many of us find ourselves living through the drudgery of day by day by natural bread, and we're going to understand that natural bread better in a moment. Man shall not live by natural bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Not just every word that's been written, every word that is proceeding now from the mouth of God. Turn over so we'll be there. Turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, just turn. I want to say to you tonight that there are in every heart, nobody's exempt. You can cover it up. You can harden your heart. You can quench the Holy Spirit. You can try to shut out the voice of God with all kinds of sounds and noises, entertainment, music. You know, there are people who can come to church and part of the sound of praise and worship and music for them does nothing but help them shut out the voice of God rather than to hear the voice of God. Because they could not stand to be in stillness, quietness before God. But in every heart, deep in every heart, there is a place that is not satisfied. Not satisfied without living water, without proceeding word, the living bread of God that comes and feeds our soul. You can pretend that you're satisfied. You can put on a smile. You can wear a mask on your face. You can go through motions every day of every week. And if you're one who has at least believed in the Lord, for most people like that, eventually there will come such a crisis that your whole world will just come tumbling down and you will collapse. You will collapse, and everyone will say, oh, what's wrong, what's wrong? And you say, I can't take any more, because you have not fed yourself, not listened. You're starving down deep on the inside for the things of God that are reality to your soul that has been born again and has received a fountain, a spring, springing up to everlasting life. But God wants to give you a river. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, the Lord is teaching from the boat. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little bit from the land. Remember that phrase? Put out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Here is the living word of God giving forth the living word of God, feeding a multitude with word. Then when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night long and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and the net was breaking. And we're just going to stop right there. Sometimes, if you want to walk with the Lord, sometimes the Lord asks us to do something that is beyond our own ability. That is part of walking with the Lord. If you can do everything that you're doing in your own strength, then there is an element of this that I'm speaking of tonight, this deeper walk with the Lord, that is missing. Because as a believer who is going deeper in the Lord will call you to do things that you say, Lord, I can't. I just can't do that. And what you mean is, I don't have the strength to do that. I don't have the courage to do that. I'm not smart enough to do that. I don't have what it takes, Lord, to do that. I don't understand, Lord. Why would I do that? And I need to understand. But sometimes the Lord asks us to do something beyond our ability and beyond our understanding. And here he says, thrust out a little bit from the land. Thrust out, or launch the boat out a little bit from the land. Beloved, this is emblematic for us. It is symbolic for us. If we're still on land, then we're still standing in self-control. If we're on land, we can still stand. We're anchored. We're grounded. But when we launch out a little bit from the land, we're kind of rocky, aren't we? We're on water where something else is carrying us other than ourselves. But as long as we are on the land, then we are in our area of ability, is what it speaks of. We launch out from the land and we are launching out into something that is beyond our own natural abilities. Thrust out a little bit from the land, maybe a word for some of you tonight. And then as they moved out from the land and away from that picture of what it means to be in self-control, then it's like what we've been looking at. Just go a stone's throw further. Just a stone's throw further. And we start, here is what happens. When we start going the stone's throw that the Lord asks of us, and when we start launching out a little bit deeper than where we have been before, horror of horrors, we start losing control. We are no longer the ones that are in control of this thing. And it's a good thing. Sometimes we fight against that, we kick against that, but it's where the Lord wants us is to, and this is what has to happen for you and I. We have to come to the place that we understand how beautiful that is, how precious that is, to be in a place where we are no longer the ones reasoning it out. We are no longer the ones calling the shots. We are no longer the ones designing this thing. We are no longer the ones saying what we will do or won't do, but it has all been handed over into somebody else's hands, and it may seem like an unstable place to be in the boat out on the water, but it is where the Lord would have us to be in order to experience. Look what they experienced, a miraculous catch of fish. It is where we stop trying to figure things out in the natural. We stop trying to reason things in the natural. Now, I'm just going to turn a corner for a moment, so bear with me. We go back to the Garden of Eden, and there were two trees in the Garden of Eden. One was the knowledge of good and evil, and the other was the tree of life. If you're students of the Word of God, you have learned some about these trees, but ultimately, as we boil it down, the tree of knowledge of good and evil means this. It is the tree of, or it is the way of life that chooses, I know what's right for my life. I know what's wrong for my life through my own choices, my own reasoning. That's what Adam and Eve did when they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, was that they partook of their own free will, what God would have willingly given them and taught them. He would have taught them step by step, this is good for you. This is right for you. This is dangerous for you. But no, they wanted to take it unto themselves. And that is the way we live our lives until we let Christ have control. We make all of our decisions based upon eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We choose what is good for us today. We choose what is evil. We say, this is the right job for me. This is the wrong job for me. We say, I should be in this relationship, or I shouldn't be in this relationship. I should do this. I should go here. I should go there. I would never do this. I would never do that. All of this comes from the knowledge of the tree, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the tree of life speaks of the tree of surrender to God's will. It is the life of Christ flowing through us, living through us, leading us and directing us, and causing our thoughts to line up with His thoughts. And so when we launch out into the deep, we remove ourselves a little bit from the land. We are picking up our feet, and we're no longer the ones anchored and standing in control. But now the Lord begins to take control, and He begins to speak. And He speaks to us, and the things we hear and the things we respond to then are the outflow of us living from the tree of life, from Christ, rather than the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so there is this twofold path we can take, one way or the other way. Listen to these words. So many times I have read these words and I've said, Lord, I want to be able to walk in this. Romans 8:14. We love to say we're children of God or we're sons and daughters of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Very simple. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. This is the way of the tree of life. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How many of you say, I want to be a son or daughter of God?
Amen.
Mature son or daughter of God.
Amen.
You know, I want to clarify before I go to the last part of this. We can become so super spiritual that we are zany to people. And we can say, oh, the Holy Spirit didn't want me to wear blue today. Or I can't go to the grocery store because the Holy Spirit hasn't told me to. There are things that God gives us a sanctified mind to use that mind for. There are things that he says, you know, occupy until I come, do business. There are things that we're to go about doing unless he directs us otherwise. But in our decision making and all of the, and you'll know which things are important. In the decisions of life and the way that we behave, the way we live, the things that motivate us, the choices that we make. Beloved, we don't sit as if we're sons and daughters of God. And I've done it, so I'm not pointing the finger. We don't sit and make a list of pros and cons to figure out what we should do in a given situation. That's eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We go to the throne of God and say, God, what should I do?
Amen.
In this situation? That's the tree of life.
Yes.
And so I want you to turn to our last scripture. It's in Ezekiel 47. In Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel sees a vision. It's a vision of the millennial temple is what it's called. It's really a vision of a temple that has dimensions so big as to not even make sense as an earthly temple. It is very highly symbolic, speaks to us on many levels. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. Water is a symbol of the Word and the Spirit.
Yes.
And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles, underline the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. This speaks of our ongoing, ever deeper walk in the Lord. Deals with these levels that I'm talking about. And so he brings him out into the water, and at first it says he's ankle deep. Ankle deep says that the waters of the Spirit are affecting you. They're touching you. Your ankles speak of your walk with God. So your walk with God, maybe you're in that place that you have the river, not the river, but the spring of water welling up inside of you for salvation. And you have some measure of interaction with the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. But beloved, as long as you're up to your ankles only in this water, you can still stand. It won't throw you down. It won't move you. You're not moved around by it. You can wade through it. You can stand still if you want to. You don't have to progress one bit. But God has something much better for you than that. Your walk is being affected, but you're not submitted. So he takes him out a little bit further and brings him up to his knees. Our knees speak of our bowing down, our submission to the Lord. And so there is a place that the Lord wants to take you, even tonight, A stone's throw for you may mean a deeper bowing down and submitting your heart to the Lord. Deeper submission. Deeper submission in prayer. A deeper level of intercession, that's praying for others. A deeper level of revelation of God. Revelation of Christ, the knowledge and the understanding of Christ that you receive in the Word. But you're still standing, and you're on the solid ground of the bottom of the river. You're letting God deal with pride, but beloved, there is still more. So I want to give you the rest of this as clearly as I can. He led him out to his waist. In the King James, it's the loins. First, don't turn there, but 1 Peter 1:13 says, gird up the loins. Gird up the loins of your mind. The loins of your mind. No longer living after the dictates of our own carnal mind. In other words, letting the Holy Spirit affect your thoughts, your thought life, being transformed. So the loins can speak of the loins of your mind. It also speaks to another level, because the waist or the loins represents areas of perversion and sexual sin. And here's the place that God will deal with those areas in our life where God wants to totally cleanse us and purge us. And I want to just give hope here tonight, because I know I've talked with believers in this church that for years and years have struggled maybe with one area in their thought life, or an area of pornography, or whatever it may be, an area of sexual sin. But I'm going to tell you tonight, God promises complete deliverance from that. It's not too powerful for God.
That's right. That's
and there are multitudes of believers who have walked free from it,
yes.
Who are delivered from it.
Yes.
And are able to overcome that and go on into deeper things with the Lord. But it begins by totally surrendering and asking God to do the work. You cannot do it yourself. It is a repeated go to the Lord for cleansing. If you mess up, you go to Him again. He's not up there with a big stick to beat you up. He receives you 70 times 7. You come and say, Lord, forgive me. And He forgives you, but keep asking and keep pressing in deeper. Keep surrendering. Saying, God, empower me that I might overcome this, until God delivers you from it. And so God wants to touch you in those areas, and He wants you to go a little bit further. Even with water to our ankles and our knees and our loins, we are still touching the bottom. We can still stand where we want to stand, to a degree. He wants to bring us out to the place where we are not in charge anymore. It was a river so deep and so wide that all you could do was swim. And when you swim in a river, it carries you where it wants to carry you. And so the Lord is inviting us on this walk with Him to come out deeper. A stone's throw, wherever you are right now. If you're at ankle deep, then go knee deep. If you're knee deep, then go waist deep. If you're waist deep, then go all the way with the Lord. You don't lose the things that matter when you lose yourself in God.
Amen.
You don't lose who you are. You become who you are.
Yes.
And it's a place where our life doesn't belong to us anymore. We're carried by the water. Our decisions and our life are governed by the tree of life. And if you noticed, if we were to read that passage of scripture a little bit further, the water went all the way to where there was the trees on either side. We find in the book of Revelation is once again the tree of life. So the water of the Spirit and the Word takes you into the place where you feed from the tree of life, where all decisions, choices are made in unity and submission to the Spirit of God, and not through our own reasoning, not eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, of self-will, but of yielding to the Spirit of God. Tonight you can choose natural bread, tree of knowledge of good and evil, self-obtained direction, self-reason, or you can choose life, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, a river that flows up within you and flows out to others. Living water, living bread, tree of life.
Amen.
Let's pray.